Father in heaven, time to share your word today. Help me to do it so that everybody can grasp the truth that is here in the prophet's words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The prophet pronounced a woe to the rebellious children. Woe. You know what woe means? Pay attention. Listen to what I have to say. You have gone the wrong direction. Woe. When you say that to a horse, what does that mean? Stop. Woe. Stop. Stop. You're going in the wrong direction. Stop. The Hebrew word that's used for rebellious means backsliding or stubborn. Anybody familiar with the word stubborn? Yeah, I thought so. Stubborn. What exactly was God's people turning away from? What caused their backsliding? You see, the answer is there, and I hope you're there to get to Isaiah 30, because I want to show you where I get this information. Then when you read this in your own quiet time, you'll say, hey, I remember when Pastor spoke on this. You need to get there and see where I'm getting this information from. The answer is in the next phrase. They took counsel, but not of me. They devised plans, but not of my spirit. That's what a cover means. Plans, the devising of plans. It means they made up their own plans. God said, my people no longer look to me for guidance and counsel. Instead, they lean on the arm of the flesh. And every time they act without seeking me, they turn to the world for help. And so they pile sin upon sin. They've forsaken their trust in my strong arm. I like the wording that's found in verse 2. They walk to go down into Egypt. Look at the direction, down. Wrong direction, down. Egypt is a type of the world. The word Egypt is a type of the world. Whenever you see Egypt, just picture that as a type of the world and worldly things. People trust in the world. They trust in material, worldly things. Egypt is a type of all that. It represents the world. And all the lusts thereof is Egypt. And you'll see Egypt used that way in the scriptures. It's why the Lord gets very upset when they go to Egypt. You see in verse 1 of chapter 31. They trust in the chariots and the horses. You see, Egypt had many chariots and lots of horses. They had state-of-the-art chariots. They probably had the best chariots that they could possibly have in that day and age. And so God's people have a tendency to trust in these things. What do we trust in today? We don't call it chariots, but what does Americans seem to have a trust in today? What's it like today? The military. The military. We think the military is going to fix it for us. Trusting in the military. Now, I trust that we have some of the best military in the world. I haven't seen it. You probably haven't seen it, but your tax dollars have seen it. I trust that we have the best military in the world, but we're not to trust in that. That's not to be our trust. Our trust is in him and him alone. We're to trust in him. The Lord says, trust in my strong arm. You know, it's amazing in this day and age what the Lord can do to modern technology. You know, we have a lot of modern technology, but you'd be amazed at what God can do with modern technology. He can make that stop working just like that. Just like that, he can make it stop working. We need to learn to trust in him. Trust in the Lord in every situation, no matter how insignificant it is. In the Psalms, we are constantly reminded, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Psalms 36 and 7. Now, here's something I noticed I never really quite noticed before. The Lord. Lord said in verse 2 of chapter 30, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the what? What's your scripture say? In the shadow of Egypt. Now, it's interesting that Isaiah, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, would use that word shadow. Now, the Holy Spirit has used that word shadow many times in the scripture. In Psalms 36:7, I just read it, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. Psalms 57:1. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. Psalms 63:7. I saw something in that shadow I never seen before. Do you know you've got to be pretty close to being somebody's shadow? You got to be pretty close. If I want to be in one of your shadows, I have to be pretty close to you to be in your shadow. You see? And this is what concerned the Lord. They were trusting in the shadow of Egypt. Where are you trusting today? Are you too close to the world? Is your desires too close to worldly things? To trust in the world, are you walking in the shadow of the world? Because that's too close. I never caught that before. I just caught it today. You have to be pretty close to be in the shadow. It's talking about being too close. You want to be close? Be close to me, the Lord says. I want you under the shadow of my wings. I desire for you to be under the shadow of my wings. The prophet went on to declare that God would break down their walls. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. Verse 13 and 14, the same chapters where I'm getting it. In an instant, he shall break it like the breaking of a potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces, and he shall not spare, the prophet went on to say. I'm going to break into pieces every false thing that you have trusted in. Your plans are going to collapse. Isaiah revealed God's heart toward his people in the midst of it all. God loves his people. He loves you and I. And he urged Judah, you don't have to live in confusion anymore. You don't have to endure this sudden breaking. Because God has provided a way out for you. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. Look at verse 15. This is where I'm getting it. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest, you shall be saved in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Now there's the key to my message right there. That's the key verse. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. How about that? Quietness, I want to talk about quietness and confidence because this is God's secret to spiritual strength. Quietness and confidence shall be your strength. What else shall be your strength that Scripture says? It's three letters. It's not in this passage, but it's written in God's Word. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you're going to see that actually part of this message when it talks about singing. That's where the joy comes from. The joy is your strength. But quietness, if you have a pen or something, you should underline it or circle this passage. Quietness and confidence shall be your strength. The word that's used for quietness in the Hebrew means indicating calm, relaxing, free from all anxiety, lying down with support underneath. This is what the Hebrew term means for quietness. How many Christians today have this kind of quietness and confidence, huh? Do you have it? There's many believers today that are involved in this frenzy of activity. They're rushing madly to obtain things. And even in the ministry, even in the church, God's servants are full of worry and fear. They're looking for answers. in conferences and seminars and best-selling books. Everybody wants guidance and solutions, something to calm their spirit. Yet they seek it in every source except the Lord. This is what the Lord's talking about. You go everywhere else. You seek it everywhere else, but you don't ask of me. You don't talk to me. You see, God has already spoken this word through the prophet Isaiah. He described what God's righteousness is supposed to accomplish in us. Look at verse Isaiah 32 and 17. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. There it is, 32:17. Will be peace, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. If we're truly walking in righteousness, our lives will bear the fruit of a calm spirit and a quietness of heart and peace with God. Have you ever noticed that among people who are really close to the Lord? Nothing bothers them. Did you notice that? I mean, these people are going through the trial of their life. And brother, you wouldn't want to trade shoes with them. But they have a quietness about them, a restfulness that comes with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can give that to you. You can have a quietness and a rest and a confidence that, listen, no matter what. I heard a song on the radio the other day. Is your life falling apart? Does it seem like it's falling apart? I can tell you that according to Romans, it's just falling together. The pieces are falling together to accomplish good in your life. I see these young men looking at me. I remember when I was your age, and I want to tell you this. Don't let the Lord out of your plans. Don't let him out. If these girls you'd like to date aren't churchgoers, they don't go to church, they don't attend church, they're not dating material, fellas. They're not dating material. Don't even bother taking them for ice cream. Just pray for them. That's right. Just pray for them. Because Proverbs talks a lot about them ladies. But this isn't just about ladies, men. Men can be the same way. It's a two-way street. So ladies, talk to Jesus about your mate. He'll give you the right one, I'll guarantee you. She or he will be the right one. I believe that with all my heart. You're here today, you'd marry your spouse all over again, I would. I know God handpicked her for me. Ain't nobody else would want to spend any time with me. Ask the Lord. Talk to him. Our Sunday school lesson was in Peter, and I'm going to go to Peter 2. Peter speaks of the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. 1 Peter 3:4 is very precious in the sight of God. I can tell you that this spirit has nothing to do with temperament or personality. Some people I know are naturally inclined to be calm or shy. Others, noisy and boastful. But I can tell you the meek and quiet spirit that Peter is talking about here can be implanted in each of us by the Holy Spirit. He gives to everyone who will fully trust the Lord in all things. It's available to you today. And he wants to live in your heart. The prophet looked around and he saw God's people fleeing to Egypt. They were looking to Egypt for help, trusting in men, relying on the horses and the chariots. And so the prophet warned, now the Egyptians, and I'm getting this in chapter 31, verse 3. I want you to see where I'm getting this. Isaiah 31, 3. Now the Egyptians are men. And not God. Their horses are flesh, not spirit. And when the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall and he who is helped will fall down, and they all will perish together. Does that sound familiar at the Red Sea? Didn't that sound familiar at the Red Sea? Leaders and ambassadors were holding emergency meetings. Everyone was in a panic, wailing, "What can we do? The Assyrians are going to wipe us out." But the prophet assured him, "It doesn't have to be this way. Return from your backsliding. Repent of your rebellion, of trusting in others. Turn to the Lord. He will cover you with a blanket of peace. He'll give you quietness and rest in the midst of everything that you face." You see, the Holy Spirit gives us strength when we release all of our needs into God's hands and trust in his might and in his power. I'm going to give you this example. I'll soon be finished. Ruth is an example of this kind of trust. Let me refresh your memory. After her husband died, Ruth lived with her mother-in-law, Naomi. She was quite elderly at the time, very old. Naomi was concerned about Ruth's welfare, and she wanted to be sure that her daughter-in-law's future was taken care of. So she advised Ruth to lay down at the feet of the wealthy man by the name of Boaz, and then ask him to fulfill his obligation to her as her kinsman. So that evening, after the day's work was finished, Boaz was laying down at the end of the heap of grain, and Ruth came in quietly and softly, uncovered his feet, and laid down. Ruth 3:7. The next morning he woke up and he was startled. He found this woman laying at his feet. Now, there wasn't anything moral about her presence there. It was a common custom of the day. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative," Ruth chapter 3 and verse 9. What she was saying is, "Will you take on the obligation of a relative for me? Will you provide for me?" In short, what she was asking is, "Will you marry me?" That's really what she was asking. Would you marry me? Now, when you read the story, you might think that this was a little bit manipulative. This was a little bit being manipulative. But I assure you that Naomi and Ruth had done everything in the order that the Lord had so ordered. The Lord was leading Naomi. Naomi had prayed about this. So we can be sure of that, because Jesus came through the lineage of Ruth. So we know it was done in an orderly fashion. Jesus came through the lineage of Ruth. And when Ruth returned home early that morning, Naomi asked her, "Is that you, my daughter?" Verse 16. And what she was really asking was, "Should I call you engaged Ruth, or are you still widowed Ruth?" It's really what she was asking. Makes it clearer when you understand that. So Ruth told Naomi all that had happened. And listened to her godly mother-in-law's advice. "Sit still, my daughter." Boy, how hard is that sometimes when we want to do help God out? You know, we sometimes want to help God out with things. You know, he's working too slow. We want to help him out. And when that happens, God says, "Sit still." I remember hearing that a lot from my dad in church when I was a little fella. "Sit still." And you know what? I had to have an attitude adjustment. I didn't sit still and I didn't listen. But boy, he got a hold of me and we went out to church, and you know, on the other side of them doors, I had an attitude adjustment. When I come in, I was whimpering. Well, things went a little differently after that. Well, Naomi said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Verse 18. And so Naomi had prayed about this, and she sought God's direction, and God had given her counsel, and he reminded her of the law of the kinsman redeemer, which, by the way, foreshadowed Jesus Christ. And so Naomi was confident that her and Ruth had done their part. And now it was time to sit still and trust God to do what he had promised. And see, that's sometimes the hardest part, sitting still. I've prayed about it. Now you want me to sit still? Yeah, that's what I said. You prayed, you've asked me, you talked to me. Now sit still and wait for me to perform. What she was saying, it's all in the Lord's hands now. Ruth, just relax and be calm. God will move supernaturally for you, so you don't have to worry. Let quietness and confidence be your strength, because God won't let Boaz rest until he puts a ring on your finger. Okay. That's the way to pray. That's what she prayed. It happened just as she said. A calm peace settled over Naomi's house. Nobody there was in a frenzy, biting her fingernails and wondering, will God do it? When will it happen? These two faithful women could relax and they could sing praise to the Lord for his goodness. So that brings me to your house. What about your home? Is it calm and peaceful there? Are you in peaceful abode? Or has it become a place of doubt and questioning and anxiety, restlessness? Do you run here and there fretting? How am I going to do this? How am I going to pay the bills? When trouble comes, do you seek the Lord diligently before you go anywhere else? Do you obey everything he tells you to do? And then finally, are you still? Are you being still? Are you restful? Are you trusting him for the result? And if that's the case, your home should be a place of calm and peace. Isaiah lists the good things that come to those who wait on the Lord in all ways. Blessed are those who wait for him. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, you shall have a song as in the night and gladness of heart. The prophet was saying, if you'll just wait on the Lord, if you'll cry out to him and return to trust in him, he will do for you everything that I've said and even more, the prophet said. God can merely speak a word and the enemy will falter. For through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down as he strikes with the rod. Chapter 30, verse 31. There isn't anything that our Father can't solve. There isn't any battle that he can't win. Just a mere word from his lips, Isaiah says, the breath of the Lord will consume everything in our way. Isaiah 30, verse 33. And here's what I'm closing with. He wants it all. Your health, your family, your future. He wants you to entrust him with every matter. He wants you to live in quietness and confidence. Bring everything to him, will you, today? He has promised. You'll hear his word behind you telling you which way to go. This is the way. Walk in it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I've reached the end of my message. I've laid this message aside several times. I wasn't sure that this was the message that I needed to share today. God kept bringing me back to it. He brought me back to it for a reason, because somebody here needed to hear it. Would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, it was me. I needed to hear it. Wow. Yeah, I think everybody's putting their hand up. Now I know why I had to share it. I want to have a prayer with you. Father in heaven, this message spoke to my heart as I was preparing for it. And now, Lord, I see the hands that were raised and see now why you kept bringing me back to this message. Lord, I pray for these. I don't know what's going on in their life. I don't know what it is that they're asking for. I don't know what it is that they're in need of. But I know, Father, that you know what they're in need of. You know exactly what they have need of. You know what it is that they're asking you of. And I pray, Lord, that right now, Lord, that you will intervene in their life because you have heard their prayer. And I pray you'll intervene, and Lord, and you'll bring an answer to that prayer. Perhaps it's been years that they've been asking this prayer. I don't know how long they've been asking. I don't know how long they've been seeking this, but I know, Lord, this message was for them today. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, that you will intervene in their life. As they raised their hand, Lord, and was willing, Lord, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will now fill them afresh and anew. If they don't know you as Lord and Savior, they'll invite you to live in their heart today and ask you to remove their sins as they ask you to forgive them. And, Lord, invite you to come and live in their hearts from this day forward. Lord, I want you to be their answer to everything that's going on in their life. I want you to direct their steps. And I want you, Lord, to direct their lives that it may be pleasing to you. And Lord, it'll bring everything, Lord, that you have planned in their life. You have brought them into this world and to function in a certain way, to do a certain job. And I know, Lord, that you will accomplish that because you're the author and finisher of our faith. So I thank you, Lord, for each and every one of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.